We're greatly honored this morning in having Brother John Longdon as our speaker. As you know, it isn't my custom to spend a great deal of time introducing our speakers, but I feel this morning that perhaps you should become acquainted with Brother Longdon, since we have so many new students who perhaps have never heard him before. Brother Longdon was born in Oldham, England. He married Sister LaRue Carr, who, by the way, is now a member of the presidency of the General Board of the Mutual Association. Brother Longdon was on a mission in the Central States, 21 to 24. He was Bishop of the 19th Ward, 25 to 30, Assistant Superintendent of the Salt Lake State YMMIA in 1931. He was a member of the Highland Stake High Council from 36 to 1950, member of the General Church Welfare Committee since 1950, Assistant Coordinator of LDS Servicemen of Utah, Idaho, Nevada area from 40 to 46, and at the present time, as you know, he is an assistant to the Quorum of 12. Brother Longdon received his education at the LDS High School and the University of Utah. He's held many secular positions, some of which are General Manager of Western Electric Company, former President of the Bonneville Knife and Fork Club, former Vice President of the Salt Lake Rotary Club, former President of the Intermountain Electrical Association, and others which I shall not take time to read. As I explained earlier, Brother Longdon has a very beautiful voice and very often sings to us when he comes. He's also talented in the dramatic arts. And more than all else, I think, in my association with him, is the knowledge that I have that he has a great testimony of the gospel and that he loves people. Brother Longdon, we're happy to have you with us this morning.
Thank you, President Taylor. My dear brothers and sisters and friends, I assure you this is a great privilege for me to be with you again in this assembly. Maybe there is need for an enlarged introduction that I might be known. I attended a meeting just recently, and I was introduced as an advisor to the Quorum of the Twelve. Upon rising to my position at the podium, I assured the congregation, by all means, the Quorum of the Twelve didn't need any advisors. And then it reminded me of an experience as we were about to tour the Hawaiian mission. We left Los Angeles on the Lurline. Sister Longdon and one of our daughters was with us. It happened to be Easter time, very fitting and proper as we think today of the Master through this glorious music which has been rendered for us, so magnificently done. And I approached the steward that we might have a service on Sunday, Easter Sunday, on board ship. This was Saturday morning early, and I was informed that someone had already told him that the Mormons wouldn't need a service. I asked who it was, and he mentioned the name, advised that I should get in touch with the individual and then meet in his office, and arrangements probably could be made if that's what we concluded. So I did just that, and by appointment we met in his office. There happened to be another gentleman there from Los Angeles, and I rather took over most of the conversation, I presume, and that had impressed him somewhat, and the appointment was made. We came out of the office, and he sidled up to me, and he said, "What have they got you doing in the church?" So that took the wind out of my sails. I'm grateful to be in the service of the Master, and this is the season of the year when we think probably more we shouldn't as members of the church, but we do because that is the custom of the world. we celebrate with the world the birth of the Master. Someone has very beautifully written, in fact, Soren Kierkegaard, "Father in heaven, what is man without thee? What is all that he knows, vast accumulation though it be, but a chip fragment if he does not know thee? What is all his striving, could it even encompass a world, but a half-finished work if he does not know thee? So may thou give to the intellect wisdom to comprehend this, to the heart sincerity to receive it, to the will purity to want it. In prosperity may thou grant perseverance, amid distractions collectedness, in suffering patience, all to serve thee, O thou that giveth both the beginning and the completion. May thou early at the dawn of the day give to the young man the resolution to serve thee. As the day wanes, may thou give to the old man renewed remembrance of his first resolution, that the first may be like the last like the first, in possession of a life that has lived to serve thee." This morning I am so grateful for my physical vision as I drove down from Salt Lake City and then approached these lovely mountains on the east of us, and the glorious mountains on the west, the Oakwa Range, that were touched by the sunlight of the early morning. And yesterday morning, as I had an opportunity to fly over these mountains returning from my assignment over the weekend in Georgia, and as the plane came west, had an opportunity of looking back for a moment to see the rising sun and the glorious coloring. Yes, I couldn't help but feel that God is the creator of the flowers, of the buds, of the trees. He is the creator of these glorious mountains, wonderful valleys, and most of all, the creator of man. I'm grateful for my physical vision to see these beauties. But more than that, I'm grateful this morning for my spiritual vision to see the beauties and understand in part the beauties of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the great message that has come to earth, which is the true pattern for living. And so I trust that regardless of what may come into my life, I shall never lose that testimony to appreciate my spiritual vision. Someone has written a very beautiful but short prayer. O God, keep our hearts thankful. Never let us forget the source of all our blessings, nor our privilege to share them with others. And at this season of the year, we do have, and rightfully so, the spirit of thankfulness and the spirit of sharing with others. It doesn't have to be an expensive gift that is purchased after considerable shopping. A kind word, a good deed, a kind thought. Yes, with the true spirit. That was the teaching of Jesus Christ. There are two powers to me in the world today. The power of Jesus Christ and the power of Satan. Those are referred to all through the scriptures. We are commanded that we should worship God and not mammon. In fact, as recorded in Matthew, the 6th chapter, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Many times we're queried, questioned, is there a devil? Yes, I testify to you that there is. He is real. He is not a myth. He is the Son of God. We knew him in our pre-existent state. He would not conform to the teachings of God our Father or the teachings of the other Son, the Divine One, the Master Jesus Christ. Yes, Joseph Smith had that testimony. He had that knowledge. When Joseph Smith and Sidney Rigdon were given the vision which is recorded in the 76th section of the Doctrine and Covenants, they were permitted to see God and Satan and bore testimony concerning the existence of both. He speaks of the Savior. This is the testimony last of all, which we give of him, that he lives. For we saw him even on the right hand of God, and we heard his voice bearing record that he is the only begotten of the Father. And then also saying, and this we say also, and bear record that an angel of God who was in authority in the presence of God, who rebelled against the only begotten Son, whom the Father loved and who was in the bosom of the Father, was thrust down from the presence of God and the Son, and was called perdition. For the heavens wept over him. He was Lucifer, a son of the morning. And we beheld, and lo, he is fallen even a son of the morning. And while we were yet in the Spirit, the Lord commanded us that we should write the vision. For we beheld Satan, that old serpent, even the devil who rebelled against God and sought to take the kingdom of our God and his Christ. And that has been and still is the mission of Satan today. Let us review for just a moment an experience that happened in the life of Moses. Moses saw Satan. Satan endeavored to deceive Moses. He would have Moses believe that he, Satan, was Jehovah, the divine Son of God. But he could not deceive Moses because he honored that priesthood. He had a testimony of the gospel. And because he could not deceive Moses, we are told that Satan wept bitterly. Yes, and he went into a rage. He is just as anxious today to deceive you young people. Anyone who shows a desire to serve the Master, to be thankful to the God in heaven for the blessings which are ours, and then to show that thankfulness and our appreciation in service to the Master. Who are we to think that we will not be subject to his buffetings and his temptations and his promptings? If the Master himself was subject to his temptations and buffetings. Let us review for a moment that glorious scripture as recorded in the 4th chapter of Luke. Jesus had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. That's rather a long spell. It would be for me. All the Lord asks us to do today is to fast 2 consecutive meals once a month, that we may give this physical body a rest, but more than that, that we can become more in tune with the divine spirit, that we will appreciate our spiritual vision. And as the Savior was in this state, he was approached by Satan. And he struck a bullseye. If thou be the Son of God, command that this stone, that it be made bread. There isn't anyone here, I'm sure, who possesses a testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ that does not realize that Jesus had the power to turn this stone into bread. The man who had the power to make the blind to see, not only their physical vision, but also their spiritual vision as they allow his spirit to work in their lives. The lame to walk, even to raise the dead, that they still may live in mortality. Yes, he had that power, but mind you, the significant statement when he said, "It is not good for man to live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Satan was not satisfied. He still endeavored to tempt the master. We are told that he took him to a high mountain. He showed him the kingdoms and the principalities and the powers and the dominions that would be his if he would but bow down and worship him, Satan. Again, the significant rebuff of Jesus when he said, "Get thou behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." To me and to all of us, here is a key that we may rebuff Satan. Get thee behind me. As we are tempted to defile the body, not to worship, not to utilize our time in worthwhile endeavor, not to study, not to desire to progress in worthwhile things, get thee behind me, Satan. You know, the devil still pursues. He was not satisfied. We are told that he still tempted the master, took him to a high pinnacle, revealed to him that he could cast himself down, and even though he bashed his foot against the stone, it would not be injured. Your guardian angels will be watching over you. Oh, how many times do we have that impression? One of these things won't hurt, just once. You can do it this time. And then let us remember the significant statement again of Jesus to Satan. And this is a real experience. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Then if we are followers of the Master, we have the same privilege and opportunity of saying, "Thou shalt not tempt me, a follower of Jesus Christ." And I assure you that we can subdue, for the power is given unto us so to do. As we further read that narrative in the fourth chapter of Luke, it states that Satan departed for a season. I am given to understand then that he will come back and back again just as long as I live in mortality, for a season is a short spell of time. And we have evidence of that in these glorious valleys. We have the winter, we have the spring and the summer, well, a few days of summer sometimes, and then again the fall and the winter. But a season is a short span of time, and Satan departed for a season. But I'm grateful that the scripture continues, which states that Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. And we have the privilege of subduing and not yielding to the temptations of the adversary and returning wherever our abode might be in the power of the Spirit of the Master. Yes, I am grateful for the opportunities that come to me, for the experiences, for the faith-promoting stories and experiences that are related as I visit over the church. And as this group sang this morning, I well remembered the experience we had 4 years ago in going back to Omaha to the dedication of the bridge named by a group of non-members selected by the mayor of Omaha, and it was called and is called the Pioneer Memorial Bridge. In a community where 106 or 7 years previously the members of the church had been driven out, they were not wanted, driven further west, and now we were being invited back, and they literally rolled out the red carpet. Well, here was a train with over 400 members, and on that train were the two choral groups from this great university, the Madrigal Singers and the a cappella choir, were their directors. And on that train was a man, a salesman for one of the large organizations. They were supposed to be all members of the church, but this man got on in error, but it was all right. I was grateful for that experience. Sister Longdon and I came out of the dining car at noon, and we saw him smoking a cigar. I said it was so large it would put Churchill to shame. And we were rather surprised, but we learned how he came to be there. That evening, he learned something about the church after the dinner. In the lounge car here was Brother Lee and Brother Romney and Brother Matthew Cowley and Brother Kimball and several others. And we learned something from him. He said, you know, I am always used to my highball and my cocktail before my meals, at least lunch and dinner. Hope he didn't take it before breakfast. I've seen some of them do that in my experience in the commercial field. But he said, on this train, there's nothing available. The lounge car was used for exercises, recreation, programs, and so on, hearing these fine young singers perform and other talents that they have. And he said, you know, I've been in the dining car, and on the menu, all I can see for drinking is postum, cocoa, and milk. And I asked the waiter if he couldn't get me a cup of coffee, and the waiter said, oh, no, sir, there is no coffee on this train. In fact, this is the most posthumous drinking people I ever saw in my life. You know, he said, this has been a glorious experience. I've purposely mingled with the young people. I've heard them sing every time the train stopped. They got off to perform at the various stations. People stood in awe to listen to the glorious music as we have this morning in just this one number, the Hallelujah Chorus. I've listened to their conversation. It's been clean and elevating and uplifting. They have not been taking the name of God or the Lord in vain. There is no smoking, no drinking, no reading of smutty magazines, filth. And he was aware that there's plenty of it in the world today and right in this great country of America. All you have to do is read what's going on. A $500 million business today in pornography, getting onto the school grounds of our nation. And I'm not thinking just of universities, down in the lower grades, trying to poison the youth of the nation. One man just arrested with $20,000 worth of it in his automobile. Organized they are, just as much as the dope rings. No, he said, I haven't seen any of this. He said, if I was a betting man, I'd bet all that I have and own that I'd never have such an experience as this. To be on a train with over 400 people and not seeing the things that are indulged in generally by the people of the world. We got to Omaha on Monday morning. We were having breakfast in the basement of the Fontenelle Hotel in the cafe, and he was sitting at a table, Brother Kimball over at another table with a group, and Sister Long and I were here, and we heard him hold up a glass of milk in his hand. He said, calling over to Brother Kimball, see what you've made me do. I don't know how long he'd stay on milk. But I know this, the seed had been planted. That is the influence that you youth have an opportunity to be in the lives of people wherever you may mingle or associate. Think of what the glorious privilege is to teach them the true way of life, not the way of Satan. Let them partake of that greater power. Then I listened with interest as Judge Reeder related this story. A young man who had an inventive mind, graduated from college, desired to get into the laboratories of one of the big companies in the United States, and they spend millions of dollars in research, as our good friend here, Brother Harvey Fletcher, can testify. And he saw an advertisement in the newspaper, and he applied. He was one of 27. He got the application blank. To which church do you belong? That was quite a serious question. He thought to himself, he deliberated, he pondered. If I put down the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, they probably won't know which church it is. And if I put down the Mormon Church, that'll remove all doubt, and probably the opportunity and chances of my getting this position will go out the window. What should I do? And he did the most sensible thing. He deliberated. He prayed to God through Jesus Christ, for he knew that that channel of communication was still open. And I testify to you this morning in all sobriety it is. And then he placed on that application blank the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and in parentheses, so he wouldn't be misunderstood, commonly called the Mormon Church. And he was the first one out of 27, mind you, applying for the position to be called in by the personnel manager. And as he sat across the desk, the personnel manager knew something of our church, and that's why he was called in. Some skeptics may say, oh, well, that's happenstance. It would have happened anyway, but you couldn't make him believe that. He said, I see you're a Mormon. Yes, sir, I am. Do you pay your tithing? Boy, that came at him pretty fast. Yes, sir, I do. Do you keep the laws of chastity? Are you morally clean? Yes, sir, I am. Do you keep the word of wisdom? Yes, sir, I do. Isn't it wonderful? Marvelous. I don't have to relate what would have happened otherwise. A loss of faith. In the individual, yes. The opportunity for the position, no. He must have answered the other questions correctly or to the satisfaction of the personnel manager, because he received the position. And there his desires had been gratified. He was able to get into the laboratories of the great Polaroid company of the United States. And he is responsible for bringing out a camera that will take a picture and develop that picture within a minute or a few seconds thereof. Clarence Romerl, the Mormon boy, who had defined the two powers, the power of Jesus Christ, and I place that on the right, and then the power of Satan, or the adversary, or Lucifer, he has many titles and he's welcome to them, on my left. Now at this great season of the year, I haven't seen the red light go on, don't publish this. How much time do I have? I've been worried about this red light. Someone said you won't be honored if that goes on. Everyone else sees it. Yes, we have no need to compromise our standards, young people. Now I recognize that the devil is very powerful. This has been related in these narratives and these experiences. Let me, if I can, in conclusion, give you a more modern visit of his appearance. When that boy, Joseph Smith, reading the scripture as he did in James, had the faith, as he deliberated to go out into the woods and pray, recognizing that there must be a supreme power. And so he went forth and prayed humbly. And as he knelt there, long before that light came through in that glorious grove, there was this other power of Satan which endeavored to overcome him, even wrestled with him, he felt. Yes, those dark clouds, even his tongue becoming thickened, so that he could hardly speak. But he persisted in his faith. He persisted in his determination of his belief of that scripture, and he wanted an answer. And he received it for those two personages, as he testifies in his own story, came through and he saw the light. Read that story at this season of the year. Recognize that here was again a great example of the two powers, the powers of God and Jesus Christ, his divine Son, and then the power of Satan. Oh, we should have great comfort that we have the power not to yield to the temptations of the adversary. I think discouragement is one of the great tools that are used, that is used by Satan. He has many of them. There's a Chinese legend which relates tools labeled malice and envy and hatred, jealousy and deceit, unkindness and various other things. All of these tools had a price tag on them, but there was one tool that wasn't listed with a price. And the man asked what the price of it was. Well, he said, there is no price on that. That tool is discouragement, and it's in fine shape. Why do you have it priced so high? Because it is more useful to me than any of the others. I can pry open and get inside a man's consciousness with that wedge shape tool when I couldn't get near him with any of the others. And believe me, once I do get inside, I can use that man in whatever way suits me best. Of course, you'll notice it is well worn. That's because I use it with nearly everybody. For very few of you mortals know that it belongs to me. However, the price was so high that this particular tool was never sold. The devil still owns it and is still using it. Discouragement is like a baby. The more you nurse it, the bigger it grows. And that is one of the great tools of Satan, is to discourage. And I imagine at this season of the year, when you're cramming for your examinations, there is a possibility that you may become discouraged. But I'm sure, especially to those who have utilized their time in the days that have preceded this particular period, have a feeling of a little more security. And so we can't do much about the past, can we? That's gone. But from here on, we can see to it that the devil does not have power over us with this tool of discouragement. Yes, may we recognize this lovely prayer which I offered to begin with. Oh God, keep our hearts thankful. Never let us forget the source of all our blessings, nor our privilege to share them with others. Jesus is the great power in the world for good. And at this season of the year, may we appreciate just a little more fully the great sacrifice of the Master, the great love he had for us and still has for us, which is evidence in the fact that we have our free agency. We can choose of ourselves what we desire to do or what we desire to be. And may we, in being faced with situations and problems, deliberate and then yield to the power of the Master. And I testify sincerely to all of you that we will be able to subdue the power of Satan, the evil one, and make our lives more glorious, and by sharing the lives of others, more glorious not only at this season of the year, but throughout all our days in mortality. I humbly pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.